In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for answered prayers. Amen. You know, it should be a delight to you to see, well, it's a leading, so I'll just say it the way I'm led to see your siblings serve the Lord. Yes, make it your goal. Your siblings get to serve the Lord. Because you know what? You don't want to have something that's good and you don't draw them in. Yeah, you don't want to have something that's good and you don't draw them in with it. It's like you're all interested in yourself and there's not an attention you sort of give to that. It's worse when you're even a senior brother or a senior sister. You must make it a priority and a responsibility. God brings you as firstborn so you can also help the others who are behind you. So make it a point that because of you, your siblings will end up in the ministry or they will end up serving the Lord. Because of you, make it a priority. Me, I made it a priority. Oh, yes. I remember telling my mom, I said, all of us, we are all going to serve the Lord. And she was laughing. She said, please allow them to go to school. I said, but serving the Lord does not mean they shouldn't go to school. Yes. Yeah. So I told her that we are all going to serve the Lord. And it doesn't matter how long anyone takes to get in. I'm sure they are going to get in. Oh, yes. So when my brother was little, if you asked him what he wanted to become, you tell him he wants to be a prophet. Oh yes, because I had infiltrated his mind. Yes, I put it in his mind that it's a very glorious thing to serve the Lord and to be found doing what God wants you to do. Oh yes. So you must make it a fight. I know that it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Yes. Everyone around me will serve the Lord, if possible, fully. I'm not even lying to you. Yes. I see it as a very great privilege. Yeah, I see it as a very great privilege. I see it greater than being the president of a country. I'm not lying to you. It's greater than being a whatever. Yes, to be a servant of God in the ministry. There could be influence of God in your secular jobs. That's great. But I'm talking about a servant of God in the ministry, called into any of the fivefold offices. Yeah. I love it when I see it. And I see it as a very great thing. Yeah, it's greater than anything you can think of. So I'm creating this awareness that make sure that through you, other people who are your siblings get in. Make it a priority. Your kid sister is not too kid enough to start in the ministry. If I tell you one of my greatest desires, yeah, I look back and I say, I should have started this thing early. It's always like that. I say, if I started this thing early, yes. So I look at pastors and their kids, and I envy pastors' kids a lot. It's my secret, I'm telling you. Once I get to know that you're a pastor's kid, I have a certain kind of an envy for you, because I see that is a very great privilege. See, don't listen to what anybody else says outside telling you what and all of those. It's a great blessing. I see a pastor's kid, I'm saying, wow. So you started in, when they gave birth to you, they were speaking in tongues all around you. I said, that's a blessing. Spoke in tongues. As at 7 years, you were speaking in tongues. Hey. Even me, when I was 12 years, I was doing whatever it is, 13 years and all of those. You, 7 years, you're already speaking in tongues. So it's a very great thing to serve the Lord. And you yourself make sure you serve the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everyone here. And thank you, Lord, that our hearts are open to your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are going to continue 2 Chronicles on our scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 27. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did what was right in the sight of God. In that, we said Jotham was a king, and in his rulership, he definitely did what the Lord wanted him to do while he was king. And Bible records that these things were written for us as examples that we, through the scriptures, might glean on them, learn from, right? So Jotham was that man, 25 years old, young man, becomes a king, and he does what was right in the sight of God. And I had already started talking around, you know, doing what was right. We looked at Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verses 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I brought on the Egyptians, from the Lord your God who heals you. So if you're going to diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord God, do that which is right in his sight. That's to give ear to his commandments and keep everything that he has said in his word. Then there is a blessing that comes with it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. So there's something about doing what is right in the sight of God. If you will hearken to his word, if you would do what he's asked you to do. If you would fulfill all his statuses, then you are going to be blessed. So this is what it means to do right in his sight, to hearken to the voice of the Lord, do what he wants you to do, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. Many times, you know, if you follow Jesus, let me tell you one thing that's going to help your walk with God. If you make up your mind to follow Jesus, follow him fully. You know, many people are used to cherry picking. Okay, we believe in the power of God. We don't believe in giving financially to support the work. Oh, we believe in going to church, but we don't believe in sacrificing something that matters to us for him. Oh yeah, we believe in prayer, but we don't believe in persistent prayer. It's like somebody who makes up their mind that I am a pharmacy student, and as for me, I like only pharmacology, because, you know, ever since I heard the name pharmacology, I only like pharmacology. You see, you're not going to be a very good pharmacist. In fact, you will not be a pharmacist ever in your life, because it will not just take pharmacology to get you becoming a pharmacist. You're going to need all of the courses, medicinal chemistry. You even need French in level 100. I thought I was going to run away from French all my life. And I got to realize that the French you've been trying to dodge, is here again. Une, en, je suis. What's the next one? Je suis. Two. What? French people. Two. Ilo, el. Nous. Vous. El. What's all of this? I mean, what? But you see, boys had to learn the French and go and write the paper. If not, you can't complete as a pharmacist. As a pharmacist, nobody can come and stand in front of me and tell me that to parler français, encore, all of those things they come to tell us there. But you have to learn French to be able to pass your exams and to be able to become a pharmacist. So you see, some people approach God like that. And unfortunately, they don't know that it's not going to turn out well. Because he's not just a button you press. You see, he's a whole course on his own. So, the same way you believe in God for something, let's say you believe in the power of God, is the same way you believe in prayer, is the same way you believe in fasting, is the same way you believe in the anointing, is the same way you believe in the Holy Ghost, is the same way you believe in going to meetings, is the same way you believe in giving, is the same way. You see, you have to put all of those things together. So, unfortunately, Christians are used to cherry picking. Oh, we want to do this. And something is as simple as maybe even honor. You see, some people say, no, I'm a Christian, I'm a this, I'm a that. I'm just, yeah. It's manipulation. And you just look at their lives. You say, there's something wrong. I never want to become like this person. Oh, yes. Sometimes I look at things very quietly. I say, This is not he's talking out of pain, you know. But I don't want to be like you. So I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. Yes, it's true. So many times we're fond of choosing something and leaving out some other thing. And that other thing goes a long way into making sure whatever it is we believed in, it should not turn out fine. Simple instructions like honor your pastor. Not doing it could negate so many other things that have been done. Prayer. Not doing it could negate some things. So, be a Christian that does not cherry pick. Are you listening? Yes. So I told you that not all meetings are the same. So people say, oh, if it's prayer, they are like prayer. But if it's word, we are just going to sit down and we just listen to the words. But I like hot atmosphere of prayer. No, you're cherry picking. And it means that whatever prayer should come with, you lose out on. You're not able to have the benefits of prayer. So you're supposed to do the word to its entirety. Don't choose. He did that which was right in the sight of God. I told you we're going to have a comparison between Jotham and then another of God's servants who was called Amaziah. Jotham finished well, great servant of God. We thank God for his life. But there's something I want you to see. And then we could have a comparison, right? So this is Jotham, who is doing what was right in the sight of God. Then we're going to 2 Chronicles 25. We're going to look at another king who's called Amaziah. Bible says Amaziah was 25 years old, also 25, right? When he became king, and he reigned 29 years old in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan. I think some names you have to mention it with a lot of caution. But names are nouns. I could say Jehoadan, Jehoahuan, Jehoah. You can't say anything, right? So names are nouns. They can be pronounced very easily. Anywhere they sound, they could sound different. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. Now watch what happened. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Wow. The same as Jotham. He's doing what was right in the sight of God. But this time, there's a but to it. He did what was right in the sight of God. But I'm talking about chapter 25, verse 1 and 2. Chapter 25, verse 1 and 2. He did what was right in the sight of God, just like Jotham, but not with a perfect heart. He did what was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart. But not with a perfect heart. He did what was right, but not with a perfect heart. So we're building. There is what is right, and there is what is right with a perfect heart. With a heart that is true, a heart that is sincere, a heart that is not shrouded by darkness and a lot of, physical show, a heart that is true. You know, for example, what's the reason why you join in for prayer sessions? Because pastor will say you don't join, or you didn't join, or you actually see it necessary and important to join in to pray. Oh, my disciple will call me afterwards. My disciple will call me afterwards. Say, why didn't you join in today? So let me just join. I put the phone somewhere, watching a movie on the side. Watching a movie on the side. Watching TV. Watching something. Replying text messages. On the side, you slip to WhatsApp, slip to Facebook, slip to Snapchat. You come back after 25 minutes. You flip to Facebook, come back after 5 minutes. Flip to WhatsApp, come back after 5 minutes. You see, you're doing what is right. In fact, it's what is wrong, but it's what is right, you know, in idol form. You show that you're doing it, but it's not what is right. With a perfect heart. And that's a very clear difference between Jotham and Amaziah. Amaziah is doing what he can do, but the heart is not there. The heart is not there. In a praise or in a worship session, Pastor has taught us to raise up our hands when we are worshiping or something. If I don't raise up my hand, they will say, why am I not raising up my hand? How about you raising up your hand because the Lord has told you in His word to lift up holy hands in adoration to Him? How are you doing that? That's with a perfect heart. It's with a right heart. Is with a perfect heart. Why do you pray? Why? Praying mechanically, or praying because you really understand why you have to pray, and you really add your emotions, you really add your heart, you have your heart involved in the prayer. Why do you want to sing? So that everybody knows you have a good voice, or so that you can use that voice to bless others? Why do you want to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost? So that people can know you're anointed, or so that you can serve the people with the gifts that God has given to you. There's a perfect heart that is needed, people of God, for this work He's giving to us. Jotham is doing what is right. Amaziah is doing what is right. But when Jotham and Amaziah stands before man, we say, these people are perfect people. Wow, they are all doing what is right. But when they stand before God, God says, no, I choose Jotham over Amaziah. But Lord, they are all doing what is right. No, Amaziah, that guy, is standing there to sing because he's in love with the girl that he's proposing to. He likes the girl. That's why he stands there to sing, the way he sings. Yes. See, Amaziah has a competitive spirit. He has a competitive spirit. The reason why he's doing what he's doing is because so that he can compete with another person, and so that they can say that, oh, he's better off than this person. A perfect heart. A perfect heart. So within the confines of the local church, we together as a people will have to mirror this heart of perfection. We have to mirror it. We love Jesus. That's why we kneel. We love Jesus. That's why we lift up our hands. We love Jesus. That's why we wail. We love Jesus. That's why we cry. We pray. We love Jesus. That's why we do the things that we do. Not because we just want to become something. We have an ambition. We just want to become. We just want to be known. I was sitting with someone in a car coming back a few days back. And I said, you know what? If God doesn't really give you something, don't go for it. Yes. If he doesn't make you famous, don't try to be famous. It's not. It's worthless. It's useless. If he doesn't make people see your service, don't try to make your service seen. It's worthless. Like, I'm the only one doing this. They don't even recognize me. They don't even see me. No, there's a perfect heart that you need for the work. Is it that you want to be seen, or you want to actually serve Jesus? Do you want your name to be projected, or you want Jesus to be projected? And I'm telling you, no one honors you best like the Lord will. When he's honoring you, it's a beautiful thing. So Amaziah is doing what is right, but it's not with a perfect heart. He's doing it for position. He's doing it for some kind of influence. He's doing it because he needs something. No, it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be like that. It has to be with a perfect heart. I love the Lord and I want to serve him. I was speaking to someone. I'm sure she's listening to me. And there was a very heated issue. And you know, her parents told the person that, you are following this man of God. You think you get a position? And she said, oh no, I'm not looking for a position. I just want to serve God. It's not because of a position. I just want to serve God. And when the person said that, I was touched. I was touched. You have not even seen anything yet. I was touched. The person was thrown out of the house. I was touched. I said, no, I'm not. It's not anything. I just want to serve God. Can we all say this? If God said, Pascal, I'll not make you famous. Nobody will get to hear of you. How many of you will want to be in that position? Say, people of God, God says there is no fame in this thing. Let's just serve him. You see, some of you are already getting disappointed. Let's just serve him. If you were supposed to be in this for the next 30 years of never being known, never being heard of, never being called, never. It's just your service to him. Nobody will ever hear of you. Nobody will ever call you. Nobody will ever make reference to you. Nobody. Nobody ever knew you. Nobody even ever knew that you existed. Would you still follow the Lord and would you still serve Him? Ask yourself this question this evening. Would you? Don't quickly say you would. Don't quickly say. That's a rhetoric, I should believe. It's just to ask you, to ask yourself, not demanding an answer. But would you? People of God, Amaziah served the Lord, did all that was right, but his heart was not loyal. Why are you around your leader? Is it because you see God's grace on him and you want to help what God is doing? Why are you around your leader? Why are you around your leader? No. With a perfect heart. And you know, one of the things I've grown to understand, you know, honestly, you never see me go anywhere and they give somebody a microphone to lead prayer, and you see me pray very mildly, very uninterested. Whether the person was junior or senior in any way, whether class, whatever, you see me actively involved. Worship sessions, you see my hand always lifted if the song demands lifting. It doesn't matter whether the person has a very outstanding voice, whatever. No, I just want to be in the service. That's why I'm there. So when you are the one leading prayer, you shout for everybody to hear that you are leading prayer. But when you are not leading prayer, you are standing there like there's nothing going on. Trying to say, oh, let the anointing flow. It's one of the things I hate in my life. I'm telling you, it's one of the things I hate. If I should tell you something that I hate in my ministry life, it's these kind of people. When they are leading prayer, everybody should be praying. When they are not leading prayer, everybody should just be there. We all should just be there. We are waiting for the anointing. What anointing are you waiting for? Don't you know that when somebody is put in front there, that's like pastor standing in front? Anybody who has been given a role and a responsibility, that's pastor putting them there, and you should see them as pastor and pastor serving the whole church through other people. You call in to pray. Look at how many times I've said calling to pray, calling to pray, calling to pray. You call in to pray. Some of you still don't call in to pray. With a perfect heart. And God is watching. When someone is ministering and saying, let's rejoice, rejoice. You see someone just standing there quietly. But when you are the one leading them to sing and you say rejoice and they are not rejoicing, you say, people of God, you don't understand why you should rejoice. Why should they understand why they should rejoice? You don't understand. You are not rejoicing when somebody else is ministering. Why should someone rejoice when you are ministering? But these things are going to be far from us. Are you listening? Yes. It should be far away from us. We should be able to give an 8-year-old person a microphone. The person will come and say, brethren, we pray in the name of Jesus that the Spirit of God has a free course and Jesus is glorified in all the earth. Amen. And you see people pick up the prayer. That's a church that's going to do well. You see people praying. That's a church that will do well. You see, and the person 80 or 90, Shandele meneme, mondo no mo no mo, mande ninge ninge no mo, mas. That's it. That's it. Say, glory. You see, everybody, glory, 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 glory. Because we can see God in everyone. Everyone. Everyone we see God in them. We don't see them as men, and we don't see them as mere men. We see God in them. It will take this to have the power of God in our meetings. When they say, we need an atmosphere, CFI, we should ask, which atmosphere? We are the atmosphere. When we come with the atmosphere. We don't need, we are the atmosphere. When we enter there, that's the atmosphere. We ourselves are the atmosphere. We are mobile atmospheres. Anywhere we enter, we can move the place. The Spirit of God moving mightily. Yes, it's the right heart. You know, the wrong heart actually has to wait to see somebody who has a dressed good, has a suit. Beloved, let's begin to lift up above kapam pakapa kapam. Those things are not important. I'm saying this so that some of you who have that attitude, you know that I don't like it. Yes. I detest it very, very, very much. Oh, yes. Yes, I detest it. And I believe that's the same way the Spirit of God detests it. Don't wait for anointing in quotes. We're anointed. Yes. So everyone in this place, we're doing things perfectly. What's your response to giving? Is it, Pastor is, Every day. What day is the money for? Every day, giving. I don't even collect money from you. It's not going to collect money from you. You're not happy. I say I'm going to collect money from you. You see, not with the perfect heart. You should be happy when I say I'm going to collect money from you. Like, say, no. See, we need to get this, Pastor. It's sorted out. There has to be people. A perfect heart. And you know, they're not going to give and then want everybody to know they gave. That's a wrong heart. I bought this. Pastor didn't even stand and say that I was the one that even bought it. No, they don't even care. They don't even, it's not part of their thoughts. Baby, see, I'm not even acknowledged. I'm not even acknowledged. Every time, listen, I'm not even acknowledged. A perfect heart. A perfect heart. Amaziah did what was right. Amaziah was in the choir singing. Amaziah was in the church. Amaziah was there, but there was not a perfect heart, a loyal heart, an upright heart, a good heart, a clean heart. He did it because it just had to be done. And that don't move God. That don't move God. That don't move God. Why do you want to heal the sick? Oh, so that they'll say you are now also anointed. Of course you are. But is that the motive? Why do you want to prophesy? Why do you want to have the power of God moving for a name or for His glory? Let us begin to search our hearts and let us begin to judge ourselves. If we search our hearts and we judge ourselves rightly, we're going to be fine. Let's not allow God to judge us. I say, oh no, this one you're doing, your heart is not right. Then you set it, or you pray that it should help you to set it right. Amaziah did what was right, but not with a loyal, a sincere, a true heart. You know that people are saying, hey, pastor, my what? No. It should come from a genuine place. If you don't mean something, don't say it. And don't be somebody that says things they don't mean. And when you say something and you mean it. Amaziah, a perfect heart. Christ family, if we can module this, there is no length God cannot go with us. He'll be present in every length and breadth of activities. He'll be present in every length and breadth of activities. We'll have glorious, glorious, glorious meetings every time. Because the power of God and the presence of God will be there. And it will be genuine. He will restore true worship in our midst. And worship entails the whole service. The time you come to the service. The time you are in the service. The way you comport yourself in the service. The word of God and the attention you pay as the word of God comes. It's not just the music. No, the worship. The entire service is worship to God. True worship. True worship. And when we start to adore Him in songs, you see people kneeling, people lifted hands, people lying, people just in the atmosphere. And boy, Christ family, we're going to have a good time, I'm telling you. I believe strongly and I'm trusting God for certain things. Is that things we have not seen in a long time in the church. God's going to introduce them in His church. We're going to have glory meetings. We come in and the glory of God is strong. There's a wet session, something else happens. There's a meeting, something else happens. But we will not have this if our hearts are not right with God. We want to have glory meetings. As they lifted up their hands and they sang, for His good and His mercy endure forever. He says, then the camp was filled with the cloud of God, the glory of God. The glory of God will not rest upon a church that is full of strife, that is full of imperfect reasons why they do the things that they do. It's not going to have a glory settle on His church that way. People who are just willing to love God. People who have reverential fear for God. Amaziah did what was right before God, but not with a perfect heart. All over in this place, you're going to start paying attention to your heart, because the heart is very wicked. It's very stubborn. It's very some way. Before you realize, you have already had things cloaked up in there that you have not ripped off. And so as the word of God comes to you this very minute, you're going to rip them off. Rip it off. Rip it off. Rip it off. Take it away. And let Jesus alone be seen. Take it away. Rip it off. Rip off the things that are not right with God. You know those things. And sometimes also you don't know them. But as the word of God comes to you, it exposes the things that are hidden in your heart. And let me tell you something. One of my greatest motivations as well is knowing that everything one day is going to be laid bare before God. And before every eyes, everything will be laid bare one day. Yes. So if everything I'm doing is because of something, that means that it's going to be laid bare. Even when I talk like this, I'm afraid, because sometimes you say, I'm very this, but you see that you are not really sure like that. Yes. Yes. So also have that in your mind that everything that you are doing is going to come, light will come on it, and you will get to see everything. Jesus will reveal it. The reasons why you did the things that just it will be seen like that. Yes. You are coming to church because you wanted a boy, you wanted a girl, you wanted a, just because something, just something, something just came because you just want to come. You came because somebody just forced you to come. You just came. You didn't come willingly. Yes. It's going to be bare. Everybody will see. So let's judge ourselves. Everybody begin to judge that this thing, the way I'm seeing it, is like there's something that you say, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. So everybody in this place, Amaziah, is doing something, but it's not with a perfect heart. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Don't just obey God. The rewards for being obedient is good, but there are greater rewards for willingly obeying. So don't just be obedient, be willing. Right? Be willing. Have a willing heart. You want to do it. Because the Lord wants you to do it. Be willing. Be willing. Be willing. Be willing. And obedient. Don't be like Amaziah, who is obedient, but not with a perfect heart, because there's no will. I don't do it. No. Willingness and obedience. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that you're helping everyone in this place to will and to obey, to follow you and to serve you, to do things with perfect hearts. Don't help somebody because you just need to help them. If you don't help them, they'll say you didn't help them. No, be willing to help and then obey the instruction of helping. Be willing. Be willing. Be willing and obedient. I pray that heart for you as your pastor. That there's going to be a willingness and obedience. You will do things and you will do them with a perfect heart. Wow. Yeah. You do things and you do them with a perfect heart. And that's why some people pray for the anointing and the grace of God, but it never comes upon them in a certain way. Yeah. Yeah. It never comes upon them in a certain way. Because the heart, if God gives it to you like that, it will not be good. You kill people. You create an embassy, an empire for yourself. Yes. or the grace of God, the magnificent grace of God. It comes with a perfect heart. Oh, yes. It comes with a perfect heart. Comes with a perfect heart. If God increases your disciples, are you sure you won't take advantage of them? It comes with a perfect heart. Yes, it's true. It's true. If God gives you beautiful disciples who are girls and they are close to you, would you be able to take care of them? It comes with a perfect heart. Or you will molest them and make them regret ever knowing you. It comes with a perfect heart. And you will deceive them and lie to them. It comes with a perfect heart. But it's not under this watch, because this watch, we have watches. We have people who are watching. Oh, yes. So you must begin to do everything with a perfect heart, a loving heart. Yes. Everything with a perfect heart. Don't disciple someone because you like them. Don't do that. It's not good. God does not like it. It's not nice. When you're helping people, help them willingly. Perfect heart. Don't forget. I'll tell you one story. Time back. God, now you know, God sent someone. And then I got to know this person. And this person that I got to know, had something very important that I needed. And you know what the Holy Spirit told me at that time? He gave me the heads up. He said that this thing is a test. God is watching you. So be careful. Don't accept. And don't accept. Yes. So when he gave me the heads up, I said, thank you. A perfect heart. Perfect heart. Don't. God is watching. This one, God is watching. He's watching to see what you do. Be careful. Be careful. Be perfect. Be perfect. Don't take. Reject. Say no. Yes. Is one of the reasons why, even as a pastor, I've never asked any of you for money. Yes, because I feel that's a temptation. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. A perfect heart. The reason why I'm loving you and I'm taking care of you and I'm praying for you and I'm laboring for you, it's not because of your money. It's not because of your money. I had somebody go to work or something. I think the person got a job and brought me the first salary. Yes. The first time I said no. And then the second time, God says, you passed, agreed to this one. But that one, no. A perfect heart. It's not about money. Yeah. I remember going to a construction firm. And I was supposed to go and pray for the construction firm. Yes. Oh, yes. And God said, the moment I got into the firm, God said, no, don't take any money. So we are preparing. I said, no, please. A perfect heart. If you want me to pray for you, I can pray for you. It's not, doesn't have to be about anything. So make sure that every reason, the reason why you're doing everything, it's because God wants you to do it. And you do it with a perfect heart. And I believe we're going to have glorious times ahead. Our lives are going to make a lot of meaning. We're going to be blessed in the things that we have to do. Right? And God is going to come through very strong for us. So maintain a perfect heart. Be willing and be obedient as well. You are blessed.